Welcome here to our midweek service at Calvary Baptist Church of Treherne. Also, welcome to those who watch over live streaming and FM station here in town. Please open your handouts to number 212. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. 212. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this I plead, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Pastor, for opening prayer.
Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the blood of Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thankful that He was willing to leave heaven's glory and come to this earth and die on the cross of Calvary and make it possible for us to be forgiven, to be saved, and to be able to sing this song with conviction. We're thankful that we can know that there is nothing but the blood of Jesus that can cleanse us of our sin and make us whole and give us that hope of eternal life. And we're thankful that we have the opportunity of coming together here tonight and studying Thy Word and encouraging those who are lost to turn to Thee and be forgiven and saved through that blood. And so we pray that anyone that's listening tonight that does not know Thee as their God and Savior, that they might see the importance of Thy salvation today. We pray for those that walk by, they know that this building is here, they've been invited, many of them, and yet they don't come. We pray, Father, that people would wake up while there's still opportunity. They might hunger for Thy truth before it's eternally too late. We pray for the nation of Israel. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem, that souls would be saved there. We pray for the situation in Ukraine and with Russia. We pray that souls would be saved there. Pray for the saved, that they would be encouraged in Thee, they'd be safe and be reaching out and seeking to help others to know the truth. We ask Thy will be done in our own country. We have many ungodly government people. Pray that we would see people saved in these last days and desiring to know Thee. before it's too late for them as well. We pray for the Philippines as well and for the election they have coming up this year. For Mr. Duterte, that he would be saved, and pray for our meetings that we have there, that we can be a help to the people, that they would be encouraged in the truth and want to walk with thee according to thy word. So may thy will be done here tonight. May we glorify thee in all that is said and done. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
And over to 483. Oh, how I love Jesus. 483. Sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on high. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. It tells me of a Savior's love, who died to set me free. It tells me of his precious blood, the sinner's perfect thee. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loves me. It tells me what my Father hath in store for every day. And though I tread a darksome path, yet sunshine all the way. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. It tells of one whose loving heart can fill my deepest woe, who is in sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me.
And over to 487. 487. Now I belong to Jesus. 487.
Jesus, my Lord, will love me forever. From him no power of evil conceiver. He gave his life to ransom my soul. Now I belong to him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity.
Once I was lost in sin's degradation, Jesus came down to bring me salvation, lifted me up from sorrow and shame. Now I belong to Him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Joy floods my soul, for Jesus has saved me, freed me from sin that long had enslaved me. His precious blood He gave to redeem. Now I belong to Him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity.
Pastor?
Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21, we're going to be reading there verses 23 to the end of verse 27. We'll stand, please, for the reading of God's word. Matthew chapter 21, beginning there at verse 23, says there, "And when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching, and said, By what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I also will ask you one thing, which, if ye tell me, I in likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, If we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, Why did ye not then believe him? But if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, We cannot tell. And he said unto them, Neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful this evening that we have Thy Word. We're thankful again that we can read Thy Word, that Thou hast been so gracious to us, that in this generation we still have Thy preserved Word available to us, that we can read the exact words that Thou didst give to Matthew to record for us, and that we can know that what we are reading is the truth. We're thankful for the power that is in Thy Word. It's inspired of Thee. And it is powerful, and it is able to speak to our needs. And so we thank Thee this evening that we can be instructed through Thy Word, we can be rebuked through Thy Word, we can be corrected, and we can grow stronger in Thee through Thy Word. We pray that we would allow Thee to direct us as we've read Thy Word and as we study this passage, that we would allow Thee to direct us, that we would receive that blessing from Thee that Thou wouldst have for us. We pray for anyone that's listening that's not saved, that they might see the importance of truth, the importance of repentance toward thee and faith toward thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to know thy blessing and thy truth in these last days. May thy will be accomplished, we pray, that we would glorify thee, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The title of the message this evening is Don't Entertain Fools. Don't entertain fools. We're living in a time when God's truth is being challenged on many fronts. There are many people who do not believe the truth. There are many false teachers in our world today, and they like to make themselves known. On the internet, you can find many people who are seeking to gain a following for themselves. Just this week, I was made aware of an organization that I'd never heard of before, and they're seeking to challenge people with their brand of false religion. It is being promoted by an organization that claims to have a Baptist leader, but he is obviously a new evangelical. Most professing Christians have zero discernment, and they flock to these new groups and drink up the poison. They have no understanding of truth, and they blindly follow something that sounds good but has no basis in truth. We are certainly seeing that the stage is being set more and more for the time of the Antichrist, the time when he will come on the scene. The Bible says that those who enter the tribulation time period will be given strong delusion that they might believe a lie because they did not love the truth. So there are people today, there are people that walk past this building, there are people that scoff at God's truth, and if the rapture were to happen today, they would be left here on this earth, and they would enter the rapture, or enter the tribulation, and they would not be saved. It would be too late for them. They would not have opportunity to run to this building and see if the pastor is here that they could learn how to be saved. They will not want that, because God is not going to allow them, because they have had opportunity and they rejected it. It's a very dangerous thing to despise the Word of God and to make light of God's truth rather than to repent and be saved. So as we look at this passage here, we see people, the chief priests and the elders, who were the same as many today. They were scoffers of God's truth rather than interested in the truth. They didn't want to know the truth. They wanted to continue on in their own way, and they wanted to stop Jesus Christ. That's a very dangerous place to be. That's wrong. That's not a good thing. So the first thing that we want to notice from this passage is that false teachers want to protect their territory. False teachers want to protect their territory. You see in verse 23, it says there, "And when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, By what authority doest thou these things, and who gave thee this authority?" So we know already from 2 weeks ago that Jesus entered the temple after he had entered Jerusalem, riding upon a colt as the foal of a donkey, that he entered into Jerusalem and he entered into the temple, and he noticed that in the temple they had defiled the temple and it was becoming a house of merchandise rather than God's house. And so Jesus overthrew the tables of the money changers and he chased them out. He drove them out of the temple and he cleansed the temple. And then he was able to meet the needs, to minister to the needs of many people. It says in verse 14, the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. So Jesus was able to heal many people after the temple was cleansed, after the corruption was removed, and after things were put back in order. And that's the sad thing today, that there's much false teaching today. We don't have a temple, but our bodies are to be the temple of the Holy Ghost. And this place is to be the house of God, the pillar and ground of the truth. It's the church of the living God. So then after Jesus did that, we noted that he left Jerusalem. He didn't stay in Jerusalem, but rather he went to Bethany to lodge there. Jerusalem was still corrupt, even though Jesus chased out the money changers. That didn't change the hearts of the people. And so he chose not to stay there overnight. He didn't want to identify himself with that corrupt crowd. He was not a part of that crowd. He could not rest there because they were corrupt. And so he left there. And the next day, we read that he went back to Jerusalem. And on his way, he saw a fig tree. And he was hungry, so he went to that fig tree to get some figs. The Bible tells us there were no figs on that tree. So Jesus cursed that tree. And he said to that tree that it should no longer produce any fruit, but that it should die. And it did. It withered away. The disciples were amazed at how quickly that tree withered away. Jesus did that to give a picture of the nation of Israel, a nation that was dead. There was no fruit coming from the nation of Israel. As we see in our text today, even, the chief priests and the elders of the people, they were the ones who should have known the Lord, who should have been teaching the truth, but instead they were despising the Lord and seeking to keep the people from the truth. And so Jesus, in our text here, he went back to the temple that he had cleansed, the environment, but of course he did not force the people to repent and be saved. He showed them that they needed to do that, but he did not force it upon them. So the chief priests, in the Old Testament, Aaron was the first high priest. He was the one who was to teach the other priests. He was the one who had the opportunity and the privilege of going into the holiest place once a year. And the chief priests, amongst them, would have been the high priest as well. And the elders of the people would have been the ones who were older in age, but also supposedly trained in the Word of God, but they weren't. They had rejected the Word of God. It says that they were the chief priests and the elders of the people, but they were not faithful to God. They were not his servants. And there was no reason for them to come to Jesus with the questions that they had, because in John chapter 12, verses 28 to 30, we see in that passage that as Jesus was amongst the people, teaching the people, in verse 23, it says there, "And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes." So God had several times already, God the Father had already stated clearly to the people that Jesus Christ was his son, that Jesus Christ was doing the will of God. If you go back to the time when Jesus Christ was tempted, in fact, before he was tempted, in his baptism in Matthew chapter 3, it says there in verse 13, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So, two times at least we are told in the Scriptures that God the Father spoke of his Son publicly. In Matthew chapter 17, God the Father spoke of his Son, but only the three disciples were there at that time. But these two times he spoke publicly, and so there were people that heard that. So in our text, as the chief priests and the elders come to Jesus and ask him, "By what authority doest thou these things, and who gave thee this authority?" They had no need to ask those questions, because they knew Jesus was the Son of God, but they rejected that. They rejected it because Jesus Christ did not fit their idea of who the Son of God would be. That was the problem, that Jesus Christ did not meet their requirements. And that's backwards. Jesus Christ doesn't have to meet our requirements. We need to meet his requirements. And so the two questions that they asked him are quite simple. By what authority doest thou these things? That's the first question. And the second question, who gave thee this authority? You see, the chief priests and the elders, they had assumed that they were the head of the temple. They didn't see any need for God. They didn't even look at God's word and allow God's word to direct them in how they should conduct themselves in the temple. They had the Old Testament scriptures. They could have studied them, and they would have seen that they were not functioning according to God's law. But they set that all aside and assumed that they were in charge. And so who is this person that's coming into the temple and teaching in the temple without getting our authority? That's basically what they're up to. And they were keeping the people from the truth rather than helping the people to know the truth. Very sad. And the second point that we have in this passage is, know your enemy. Know your enemy. In verse 24 it says, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, I also will ask you one thing, which if ye tell me, I in likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or of men?" The religious leaders here, they didn't come to Jesus seeking wise counsel. It wasn't that they were puzzled as to why he was there and they wanted to have some further understanding. They were trying to discredit him. They were trying to get another opportunity to mock him. He had already told them who he was. He's already told them many times that he was sent from his Father, and they rejected that. So he's not going to answer their question, but rather he's going to give them a question of his own. Jesus had been teaching now for 3.5 years, and they didn't need to have any further answers. They just needed to accept him as he was. John the Baptist, the Bible tells us, was sent to be the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he was sent from God. You remember that the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, talked to Zechariah before the birth of Jesus, of John the Baptist, when Zechariah was serving in the temple. And Zechariah was an older man. In Luke chapter 1, we read about him. And it tells us there in verse 5 that there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zechariah of the course of Abijah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and the ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child. So they were older people already, but they had no child. Zechariah was a priest, tells us that in verse 5, and he was serving in the temple at this particular time. And so it tells us there that in verse 8, and it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. So we have an angel here that appeared to Zechariah, which was an unusual thing. It didn't happen all the time. But there was a particular purpose for this angel. And in verse 13, it tells us, and the angel said unto him, fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. So John the Baptist was a special child given to Zechariah and Elizabeth in their old age, given to them for a particular purpose. He was going to prepare the way for the Lord Jesus Christ's public ministry. And that's what he did. He preached the word of God. He preached the message of repentance. And many people came to hear his preaching. And many people were baptized by John the Baptist. That baptism was not the way that they were purified. It was because they believed his message of repentance and they did repent. Therefore, he baptized them. We read further in that passage that as he preached, that the Pharisees came to him as well and also wanted to be baptized by him. However, they were not interested in repentance. They just wanted to be seen to be of that same group so that they could continue to have the leadership of the people, because they realized that John was very popular, and so they were trying to play the political game and trying to play the ecumenical game, and even though they didn't believe the truth, they wanted John to endorse them so that they could continue to deceive the people. John refused to do that. He wouldn't do that, and he was later killed by Herod because Herod had married his brother's wife, which was adultery, and John had been bold enough and obedient to God and telling Herod that what he had done was wrong. So here in our text, Jesus referred to John. The baptism of John, whence was it, from heaven or of men? So the baptism of John, when Jesus asked that question, he's asking, under what authority did John baptize? Baptism was not a new concept when John the Baptist came on the scene. It was already being practiced. That's why people didn't ask him, what are you doing? Because baptism was already being done. However, the baptisms that were being done, they were just being done in a ritualistic manner. But John's baptism was different. His baptism was from heaven. It was under God's authority. That's what that's talking about. And so Jesus asked the chief priests and the elders to answer his question. Rather than answering them, rather than giving them further opportunity to mock him, he gave them a question. And if they would be honest in answering that question, then they would have the answer to their question. But of course, they were not going to be honest. So the third thing that we see is that the fear of man will keep you in darkness. The fear of man will keep you in darkness. In verse 25, the second part of that verse, it says, "And they reasoned with themselves, saying, If we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, Why did ye not then believe him? But if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all held John as a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, We cannot tell. And he said unto them, Neither tell I you by what authority I do these things." So the question that Jesus asked was very simple. Was not difficult, and it's important for us today also to be careful. Sometimes we can get in a big hurry to try to defend ourselves when we are attacked, but we need to learn from the Lord Jesus Christ how we should respond to different people. There are some people that need a direct answer because they don't know. There's a lot of deception in our world today. So there are people that when we talk to them, they need an answer. They need to be taught the truth. There are others who know the truth but refuse and reject the truth, and so they don't deserve an answer because all they're going to do is use that answer as a fuel for their attack that they want to continue against one of God's servants. And so it's up to us to have that discernment to understand who's asking the question and for what purpose are they asking. We don't need to read people's minds to do that. We just need to observe the people. And we can pretty well identify certain people anyway, that we can know what their intent is. And so we need to have that discernment, that we don't play their games and play the devil's games, but rather help them to see that they are fraudulent. So in our text again, it tells us that they reasoned among themselves. They reasoned with themselves. You're not going to get very far when you're reasoning amongst yourselves, when everybody that you're reasoning with is already rejecting the truth. You're not going to find the truth. So here we have the chief priests and the elders who have already rejected the truth, and yet they're going to reason with themselves as to what they're going to answer Jesus regarding John the Baptist. And they realize that they've got a problem on their hands. And it reminded me, as I was thinking of this, it reminded me of when people play a game of chess, or even when we were playing that game here on Sunday, and how that you need to strategize in some of these games in order to think of what the other person's next move is going to be to try to set yourself up so that you can win the game. And that's what they were doing here. They were strategizing amongst themselves. Now, what kind of an answer can we give here to defend ourselves so that we win? They didn't win. They lost. But they didn't want to make themselves look foolish in the eyes of the people. And so they reasoned, how are we going to answer this? And they reasoned with themselves and they said, if we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, why did ye not then believe him? So that's the first response. They knew that that was really the right answer. They knew that John had the authority of God on his work. They saw the changes that were happening in people's lives as they repented. They saw that. But they didn't want to admit that. It's like people that believe in evolution, especially some of the higher-ups in that false religious system, they don't want to acknowledge that evolution has many holes in it, because some of them have admitted, if we admit that evolution is faulty, then that only leaves creation, and we don't want to accept the fact that creation is the truth. And so they don't want to take that approach. So what's left then? They have to stick with their lie. So here in our text, they realize we can't say that John's baptism was from heaven, because Jesus is then going to ask us, why didn't you believe him? If his authority came from God, why didn't you believe it? And so the second response that they had is, in verse 26, but if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. So even though these men were supposed to be the leaders, you can see here that they were political in their leadership. Instead of simply telling the truth, they wanted to be seen as popular with the people. And that's the way that's the way all false teachers operate today. They want to be popular with the people. They want people to clap. They want people to shout in agreement with them. They want the praise of men. And many of them, they will say what they know will make the people accept them, rather than simply speaking the truth. And we need to be careful that we don't operate under the fear of men. We need to operate under the fear of God. We need to seek to glorify him and not seek to please man. And so they had these two choices that they had reasoned out amongst themselves. Either we say he's from heaven, then we're in trouble with Jesus, or we say he's of men and we're in trouble with the people. So in verse 27, they came up with their response. And they answered Jesus and said, we cannot tell. Now, they were lying. They knew very well that John was working under God's authority. They knew that. But again, they didn't want to acknowledge that. So they lied. We cannot tell. And so Jesus, based on their response, he said unto them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. Jesus had no obligation to answer their question. They didn't want the truth, because if they would have wanted the truth, they would have spoken the truth. But they didn't. And so he had no obligation to answer them as to what authority he was working under and who gave him that authority. He left them in the dark. That's a very sad and very dangerous place to be at, is to be left in the dark. To not know the truth, and not to consider the truth, not to yield to the truth because of hard-heartedness and stubbornness of heart. And that's where the chief priests and the elders were at. They were the individuals who should have known the truth. They had the scriptures. Keep in mind that during this time, the scriptures were in scrolls. They were not in books like you and I have in our Bibles. The common people didn't have access to the scrolls. They couldn't walk into the temple and take a hold of the scroll and read it for themselves. They were dependent upon the chief priests and the elders to read the scriptures to them and to then teach them the scriptures. So the people didn't have access to them as the chief priests and the elders did. The sad thing is that the chief priests and the elders who had access to the scrolls were not using them. They were using their own teachings. And based on their teachings, they were deceiving the people. They were keeping the people in bondage. Jesus, on the other hand, he came to teach the people. You notice there in verse 23, it says, "And when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching." Jesus was using the temple for what it was designed for. As I mentioned before, that every true local church should be a Bible college. It should be the place where people are taught the doctrines of the scripture. It should be the place where people learn proper theology, where lost people can come and they can understand the way of salvation, and they can understand the truth of the fact that salvation is by grace through faith, not of works lest any man should boast. Nobody gets saved by giving money to the church, by giving money to other causes. Nobody gets saved by any kind of works. Everybody that gets saved by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. That needs to be taught faithfully. Saved people need to be taught the importance of biblical baptism, because there are many people that get baptized as what they think part of their salvation. Baptism doesn't save. Baptism is something that is done after salvation as a picture of salvation. And then after that, the saved person needs to be taught how to walk with God further. The importance of biblical separation, the importance of reading the scriptures, and so on. So Jesus was teaching the people, different than the chief priests and the elders. The chief priests and the elders, they were trying to interfere with him as he was teaching the people. They were not doing the work of God that they should have been doing. So they were not of God, contrary to what John the Baptist was. In contrast to John the Baptist, John was a prophet of God, and he was faithful in declaring God's truth to the people, and many were responding. So here Jesus did not answer them. He left them to their own vices. They didn't want the truth. Nothing that he would have said in an answer to them would have changed their minds. They were set in their ways, and he knew that, because he had given them much truth already, and they rejected it. And so there's a danger in hearing the word of God, and hearing the word of God, and hearing the word of God, and rejecting the word of God. There's a danger in that. A person can come to the place where they harden themselves to where they no longer are pricked by the word of God. They can be so hardened that they become hostile towards the word of God, and they try to silence the person who is teaching the word of God. That's a dangerous place to be at. And Jesus here, remember that he's in his last week now, prior to his crucifixion, and soon he would be on trial. And again, when he was on trial, he didn't answer the accusations that were brought against him, because there was no need to do that. That would not have helped anything. And he had already said all that needed to be said. They had the facts, but they rejected the facts. And so, as we look at this passage again, we need to be careful not to entertain fools. People that don't want to know the truth, people that are scoffers, people that have been given the truth, and they use the truth to try to twist it, to try to get back at the truth teller, there's no point in continuing to argue with them. Give them the truth and let them think on the truth, and if they want to continue that way, well, just let them be in that state. There are people who need to know the truth. They are desiring to know the truth, and we need to have that discernment to be able to help them to know the truth. And that's very important for us to have that discernment. And so God helps us in that at times. He keeps people who don't want to know the truth from interfering. He keeps them away. And sometimes we just need to tell them, no, you're not going to disrupt the service here. You're going to listen. And if you don't want to listen, you can leave. You're free to leave. Because other people need to hear the truth. And when we allow someone to interfere with the work of God, it hinders others from hearing the truth. So, again, we see that the work of God cannot be done in a democratic fashion where everybody's voice is of equal value. God's truth is the truth. God's truth is superior. So we don't need to entertain false teaching. We need to expose it, as Jesus did, and we need to help the lost to know the truth and to see the importance of God's truth in their lives. So let's do that for those of us that are saved. Let's be those that are convinced of the truth. Let's give people the truth. And let's be careful that we don't get trapped into a useless argument that will get us nowhere and won't help others to know the truth either. We want people to know God's forgiveness and God's blessing. And for those that are listening today that are not saved, your answer, what you need to know, is you need to know that you need to be born again. You need to be forgiven. You need to be saved. That's what you need. So that's the important truth that you need to act upon while you still have opportunity. Don't put it off until it's eternally too late. Don't put it off until you get so hardened that you don't hear God's voice anymore. Don't be a fool. Listen to the truth and follow the truth. Be forgiven, be saved, and know God's peace in your heart and life. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are thankful again that we have thy word. Thankful again for thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who left heaven's glory, who set aside his glory, to take upon him the form of a man, the form of a servant, obedient unto death. He was willing to come to this earth and willing to go to the cross so that he could shed his blood for lost sinners like these chief priests and the elders. They would have no excuse. They would die in their sins, but it was their choice. It wasn't that they had no opportunity to be forgiven and saved. We're thankful for thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he understood and he teaches us that it's important not to cast our pearls before the swine. Because the swine are just going to trample them in the mud and they're not going to benefit from it. So help us that we would have that discernment, that we would see how precious thy word is, and that we would live in such a way as to exemplify that fact that thy word is precious. That we could help others to know the truth, know thy forgiveness, and have thy peace and blessing. We pray for anyone listening that's not saved, that they might see the importance of thy truth in these last days. They might not put this off until it's eternally too late, but rather that they would know thy forgiveness and have thy peace in their hearts. May thy will be accomplished, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.